This is a Dragon Blazer production.
Champions of the world,
Boomer
and Blaze.
All right, hello, podcast world. Welcome to another episode of the Boomer and Blaze Show. I'm Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
How was your week, Blaze?
Not great.
Not great. Yes, but do you smell that? Do you smell that in the air?
Is something Rock is cooking?
It's actually not what the Rock is cooking. It's the NFL, baby.
Oh, yeah, football.
Woo. That's right. Before we get into the last
one. I'm not super happy right now. As a Bengals fan, I'm really kind of disappointed.
Me and Blaze share the passion of the Bengals. We're both Bengals fans for life. And unfortunately, our season did not start off very well. Like, yikes.
You know what? Despite that, the Bengals gave up 5 turnovers. We had a plus 5 turnover differential. We got no turnovers. We gave up 5. And still tied the game, went to overtime, and if it wasn't for some long snapper issues, with the long snapper getting injured, likely would have won that game.
Long snapper issues, 7 sacks too, but remember, Burrow didn't play in the preseason.
And Burrow didn't play none of the starters. And
he's not Tom Brady. Like, when you're young, it matters. You know what I mean? Aaron Rodgers can skip it. Tom Brady can skip it. When you're young, it does matter. And it's a new line, pretty much. So yeah, I'm not worried.
I don't believe they played in the preseason either.
Most of them did not.
Most of the starters didn't play preseason. There was a stat I saw where 3 out of the 9 teams that did not play their starters, only 3 of them won.
Yeah.
So, you know, that preseason definitely helps, especially with a young team, which the Bengals definitely are.
Still are, yeah. And I'm not worried yet. Burrow's Burrow. It was just the first game of the year. The long snapper thing makes a huge difference. Like, Jeff Saturday was on ESPN today saying, I wouldn't want to have that job. And not having your long snapper can make all the difference in the world. It's harder than you think. I wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, but they did pick up one on the practice squad, so we do officially have a long snapper again. We're not getting that long snapper back for a while.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But as much as I love to talk about football, this is our wrestling podcast.
It is.
This isn't Who Dey Bitchin'.
That's right.
So let's...
But I knew we had to bring up the NFL just for a second.
Oh, yeah.
But we will go past that. We will talk about the weekend wrestling. PWI, which is Pro Wrestling Illustrated, for those of you who don't know, released their list of the top 500 wrestlers of the year. And I don't think anyone should be surprised who number one is. The tribal chief, the head of the table, Roman Reigns, number one in the top 500 wrestlers. And I don't know if you can argue it. I'm not angry like last week. I don't have to yell at Punk, but I'm going to do something else this week, and I am going to acknowledge him right here on the show. I am acknowledging him.
Acknowledge me.
Right now, because he's doing it right. The man has not been pinned since 2019.
Well, here's the thing, though. We may not have anything to yell at to Punk, but I feel like we need to yell at Tony Khan. Because... I've heard rumors that he may be losing the Young Bucks to the WWE.
Well, so rumors are that Kenny Omega and the Bucks both threw some fillers out there to see how WWE would feel about them. even though we're not allowed to have contract talks when you're under contract, but this is all from the Punk thing. And it could get worse. There's actually a third party investigating the situation. There could be lawsuits. It's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly.
Tony Khan should fire Punk right now.
He should. Punk could sue him if he does. Fire him anyway. And you take the EVP away from the Bucks and the Elite, but keep them as wrestlers, in my opinion. Somebody involved in that incident is already back, a backstage producer. Can't even remember his name. That's how relevant he is, but he's already back, and they're just keeping it quiet. There's been no new news about it other than it's under investigation. You have to take the WWE threat serious. With Triple H in charge and Vince gone, it's a real thing now. Look how quick Braun went back. Like that. Like, hey, buddy, what are you up to?
Right.
You know? Tony Khan is losing control of his company. Completely. I've read online this week several people are saying that he should put Jim Ross in charge of talent. You know, you never have wrestlers in positions of power. It's never worked. Tony Khan has to let go. It's great he's a fan. I'm glad we have this other option. But you got to remember, you're the boss.
I don't want to see AEW go the way of WCW.
Me either, and I hate comparing them, but the stuff that keeps happening is just really creepy. Like, they're following so many. The fact that it was on the same network right off the rip was scary. You know, like, that was, like, weird. And then started by wrestlers, and WCW was infamous, especially after Hogan got there and signed that contract for power. Kevin Nash was in charge. Kevin Sullivan was in charge. Ric Flair used to book. Like, it's never a good idea. You know, I'm just saying, like, you gotta fire Punk.
You gotta fire
him. Publicly.
And I say that as a fan of the character Punk,
yeah.
CM Punk.
At the end of the day, it's a business and it's a work environment. The Bucks should not have went to his locker room. That's true.
No.
But Punk swung first. Punk should have said that shit in the media scrum. So really, it's all Punk's fault. You said, to be fair, he said, hey, you know where I am. Come and find me.
All right, here, look at this from a business perspective. If you fire Punk, you possibly get to keep Kenny Omega. And Kenny
Bucks.
Omega is arguably one of the biggest wrestlers wrestling today.
Yeah.
I believe, but I've heard that before.
And when it started, everybody has opinions, whatever, but Kenny Omega was probably the biggest star they snatched up.
Oh, like, yeah.
Kenny wasn't wrestling in the States very often. Kenny was in Japan, and he was a huge star. That was one of their biggest gets right there.
Right.
You know?
But from a business perspective, you lose Punk. However, if you lose Punk, odds are he doesn't go to any rivals.
Doesn't go anywhere.
He's not going to WWE.
Nope.
Maybe.
Here's the... They can throw a bunch of money out of him, but he can't go to WWE with that fragile-ass ego. That's not going to work.
No,
and Triple H's not
and Triple
the
H
hugest fan anyway.
Yeah, Triple H, you know? Does not like Punk.
Yeah.
And would probably not deal with any of this.
Because, yes, he was right about the staph infection, but when he started whining about his booking and everything, you know, it's... It is what it is, you know, just, oh, I can get rageful again.
Well, I'm...
Thank God.
I'm just saying that if you lose Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks...
And maybe
you lose huge talent.
Yeah.
Huge talent, where if you lose CM Punk, you're losing that huge talent, but they're not going to the rival.
More of your roster hates Punk than likes him, so there's a danger of... Keep Punk, lose what? Let's say 20% of your roster would be huge, and it would probably be more than that. Or you fire Punk, people stay, people re-sign, and you can get back on track.
Well, not to mention if, for example, and I don't know what is it, I don't know any other wrestler's opinion about the situation, but if you lose MJF, I think it's over.
Yeah.
I don't know what MJF is.
MJF
opinion
is signed
is?
Until 2024.
But so. Isn't he's already on rocky ground. And if he has an opinion about this, and it's not for keeping Punk, I think that's one of your biggest stars.
Yeah.
And I don't think MJF was big anywhere before.
No, he was in very small promotions. So, yeah, he was
Yeah,
not,
he's not Kenny
he was
Omega.
An indie popular guy.
He's essentially your biggest star. I think him and Orange Cassidy are your biggest stars that are kind of like homegrown, created in a staple of AEW. Yeah. Yeah. Where he wasn't big anywhere else.
No.
Neither one of them were big anywhere else.
No.
You created these guys. If you lose them, which I don't know Orange's
opinion. Orange is very not a public person at all, so I don't know.
Yeah, there's no idea to know about Orange.
MJF, as far as what I read, he doesn't hate Punk, he just doesn't like his attitude. And, you know, I read, by the way, that after all this went down, it was Jericho, Bryan Danielson, and I can't remember the third guy, but, you know, three veterans went back to that locker room. Moxley, Jericho, and Bryan Danielson were the ones that went back there, talked to everybody, controlled the situation, and got everybody refocused. And Jericho came out and said on the media that, I love being a part of this company, and I have been since day one, and I don't want to be in charge of anything, but it's my job to perform and to help the other guys and to keep the locker room together. And that came from Chris Jericho, and that's what a veteran should be doing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I read the interesting take. I guess you could blame Tony a little bit, but you know, they've had about 4 or 5 pay-per-views in Chicago ever since Punk came back. And it went to his head. I still think just everything went to his head. And we still have to wait to see what's going to happen. But the Elite are actually not even doing their YouTube show right now. Like, Kenny Omega and the Elite are totally silent.
That's really? Not,
yeah. So. But speaking of AEW on some positive notes, congratulations to the Lucha Brothers for the Trios tag win. That makes Pac the first double champion in AEW because he has the Mid-Atlantic Championship. So congrats to them, even though I'm not a huge Pac fan.
You don't like Bastard Pac?
I don't know what it is. He's just, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a big fan. I don't hate the guy. I don't know. He's not my cup of tea, but I love the Lucha Brothers, so I'm all for it.
Fair enough.
I can get behind it. The other big rumor, this is going back to WWE, but and this is just a rumor right now, but it's being said that The Fiend is returning, and it wouldn't surprise me since Triple H is in charge now. But they're trying to figure out, you know, when and where to do it. He's not going to show up on Raw. If The Fiend's coming back, it's not going to be on TV on a normal show. You know, they'll save that for a pay-per-view, but I personally hope it's true.
I'm hoping it's true, too. Yeah. They never should have lost The Fiend.
No.
And
Bray could have went somewhere else, but you'd lose The Fiend. And The Fiend wasn't even... He was just getting started.
No, The Fiend... Yeah. The Fiend should be your Undertaker right now.
Yeah.
He should be that guy that shows up, and he's just a... He doesn't need titles. He just needs to be a presence.
Eventually, you can put a title on him, but he doesn't need the belts. So I'm hoping that's true. The other rumor...
With Fiend, you also get the Playhouse. Or the
Firefly Funhouse. Yeah, and split personality.
And that was ridiculously fun. It was stupid, and I loved it.
Look, the devil Mr. McMahon puppet was priceless. Like, it was all good. And Bray and Undertaker, that was all pretty much them that came up with all that stuff.
And it...
So...
Not only... He essentially becomes your new Undertaker, but he's not a... carbon copy of The Undertaker. He's his own thing.
Yeah. But it's
awesome.
It's a quote-unquote supernatural gimmick that can work in this day and age.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a more modern version, so I hope that's true. The other rumor I kind of hope isn't true is it's rumored they are introducing new tag titles. And I'm not against this, but the problem is I'm reading they're going to be the same damn thing the Universal title already is and the WWE title already is, except for tag teams. We don't need more belts that look like every other belt.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I'm not a fan if that's what they're doing.
I'm not a fan with a lot of the titles in WWE right now.
Me neither. I think AEW definitely has better belts. The one title I like at NXT, though, is the NXT North American title, which, by the way, was won by Solo Sikoa.
Okay.
Right? So the Bloodline all has titles now. I was a little confused because I thought he got cut up to SmackDown, but he just shows up on NXT and he's like, yeah, I'm taking your belt. And he did. So, there you go. And for those NXT fans, I'm not a huge one like Rage was, but they are going back to the black and gold. I don't know if you ever saw the NXT
2.0. Oh, my gosh, the, like, 80s style.
Yeah. That was all Vince when Triple H had to go on the medical leave, and he announced yesterday the Black and Gold is coming back. So congrats to NXT.
Rage is going to be super happy about that. He will be. He hated the new look.
Dude, it was horrible.
It was dumb. I don't know why anybody thought that was a good idea.
They changed the belts so they would have rainbow reflection on them. Yeah, Braun Breaker looks like a badass with his rainbow belt glowing down the aisle. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I wasn't a fan, but... the North American title I am, and I'm glad they're going back. They'll probably redesign those belts to Triple H. Is just like, I'm changing it all. It's my show now. Good for him.
Good.
Good for him is what I say. Is, hey, I've watched a little. I'm enjoying the Dominic thing. I know you don't watch much very often, but I'm enjoying Dominic being in the Judgment Day and turning bad.
Yeah.
And dude, listen, he's so much like Eddie. Like, the rumors are getting even thicker on the internet. Like, if you look... I'm just saying, Ray don't hate me because Ray listens. But Dominic looks more like Eddie than he does Ray. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You can see
he's
it, man.
He's taller.
He is taller. Look, it was a storyline in WWE.
I remember.
We all remember. But the thing is, when Eddie wrote his book, he did have an affair and he did have a child with someone else. So... Yeah. And now Rhea Ripley is Dominic's poppy, which kind of makes me uncomfortable. Whatever. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. She's a little creepy. I don't know. She's always whispering in his ear, like, I'm your poppy. I don't know. It's a little weird, but... Hopefully Dominic has a good heel turn. Because it always bothered me that he didn't come in wearing a mask. And maybe I'm just because I'm old school. I'm like, you're Ray's dad, and you're not going to be a mask guy.
I was expecting some kind of, like... Like a half mask or something?
Or something, yeah. You know, yeah, something. To kind of, and he never happened. Now he's using that as fire for his promos and stuff. Like, I was always in your shadow and all this, you know, whatever. No, your dad was in your shadow because you're like 3 feet taller than Ray is.
I don't think he quite meant an actual shadow.
Oh, no?
No, it wasn't supposed to be so bad. Literal.
Well, I took it literally. What can I say? All right. I don't know. Do you have anything else new? I think that's...
No, the Young Bucks was the big thing I wanted to bring up.
Like I said, the social media and stuff, they're being pretty quiet. And they're a foundation... Look, the Bucks were popular, but they were a foundation to AEW, too.
Yeah, and I suspected, but I wasn't aware that Kenny Omega was also rumored... to talk.
Yeah, apparently he did it when he was off, you know, he was just off for what, 6-7 months because he had the soldier surgery, so something was already bothering him before he was even back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenny Omega, if he goes to WWE, that will be huge.
Maybe.
And I feel like, you say maybe.
Yeah, look, Triple H is in charge, but I'm still not 100% confident because... WWF sometimes drops the ball when they get guys.
Yeah, but you haven't seen how this new...
That's true.
We're still new.
When Cody came in, he still came in with... Of course, Cody has everything trademarked, but man, he made his debut, same entrance music, still had the American Nightmare logo. You know, they didn't mess with Cody. Unfortunately, he just got injured.
Yeah, right.
That's the man that could take Roman down. Maybe.
But yeah, I think that if Triple H gets his hands on Kenny Omega, it's going to be big.
Yeah.
It's going to be big.
Yeah, I think so too.
I truly believe that he would shoot him to the top. I mean, you've got this guy who is rumored to be one of the best wrestlers in the world.
And he does some amazing, like, I don't know how guys don't die when they take him on.
Yeah.
That one-winged angel... Man, what's the kick he does? I don't know. He runs across the ring and does that high knee to their face. Like, yeah, he does some crazy shit. And he's a great wrestler, for sure.
I mean, I've heard rumors that he's considered one of the greatest. Yeah. But so imagine that being in WWE. Like, AEW has a very, you know, that's big. That's one of the reasons AEW is.
Look, I think Kenny was the best champ so far. In my opinion, but I love heel champs. anyway.
Right. But, well, I like Jericho too, but
oh yeah, it's the
first, Omega was.
Everybody loves Jericho, you know, and he was. I wish he would have been in shape like he is now.
Right.
When he had the title, he looks like he's 20 again now. But just saying, don't hate me, Jericho.
Oh, I also heard that a Fozzy song is on the charts.
It is. Yes, it is.
I did actually. See. I forget what the name of it was.
Me too. But it's not Judas
I
this
just
time.
Kind
but.
Of. Yeah, I kind of just was scrolling and saw something about how one of his songs is on the top 100
charts. I actually shared that on the Boomer and Blaze show on Facebook.
That's probably where I saw it.
Probably.
You shared it on the Boomer and Blaze page.
The Boomer and Blaze Facebook page, official page. You should check that out.
It's where you go for all your wrestling knowledge.
It really is. Like, I'm just saying, you listeners, if you haven't checked it out.
TM.
Yeah.
Trademark. No.
Someday.
We don't have the money for that. But if you want some good wrestling knowledge.
That's right.
Boomer and Blaze Facebook page.
That's right. You get daily wrestling history. You get updates and funny stuff and videos. Just you should check it out. For sure. For sure. Real quickly, the only other rumor I want to talk about. It's not a rumor. But now WWE wants to remove one of the championships from Roman, but they don't want him to lose. So now they're like, we don't know how we're going to do this. How do you strip him of a belt, but not have him lose because they want him to stay undefeated till WrestleMania? It's not in concrete, but it looks like we're getting Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. But they want two champions for the WrestleMania season also.
So. Well, they really screwed the pooch on
Vince McMahon. Screwed him. Yeah, like, you know what? Give them both the belts. Thanks, Vinny. Appreciate that. Now, how do I get out of it?
Well, in fairness, Vince McMahon was having his dick sucked at the same time. His head was not the right head thinking.
Spent some of the funds running your company instead of getting blowjobs. But what do I know? But yeah, I mean, that was Vince who did that. The talk is Triple H just thought about. The simplest solution would be draft the belt and not the champ. So in other words, say, Roman, if you refuse to wrestle on Raw, I'm taking the WWE Championship.
Yeah, they'll have to do something.
They got to do something. They don't want to. That's why Drew didn't win. They wanted Drew to look strong, but they want Roman to keep going on the road to Mania. So it'll be interesting to see. So yeah.
What if they have like a storyline where Roman just throws one of the belts like, I don't need
like,
this.
Like a Medusa.
I don't give a crap.
I only need like, one belt. I'm head of the table.
Yeah.
Forget this belt.
It could be his way of spitting on one of the belts.
Yeah.
And maybe somebody could pick up the mantle and be like, no, this is worth it.
I know what the other one that was thrown out there is, you have a title match, but not for both, obviously. Like, you have a WWE Championship match, you have Theory cash in, pin the other guy. Because, you know, if he cashes in, it's a triple threat. If he cashes in during the match. So you could have Theory cash
in. Oh, yeah! Well, why did it take us this long to figure out?
Well, that was the other. I read these. These aren't my ideas, but those are the two, you know, ideas that I read.
Yeah.
Because they're not technically the same. They're not one title yet. They technically aren't. Now they're announcing it like that, but they are still two separate titles. So have a WWE Championship match, let Theory cash in during the match, and there you go. Makes sense, and you don't have to do some shenanigans like, I'm taking your belt.
Well, or
I mean,
just,
you can. But.
Or just do a triple threat for one belt and just make sure Roman's
exactly.
Like
either way, just do a triple threat.
Or fatal four-way.
Exactly.
Or
do any multi-man match, put one title on the line, and then Roman
and just make sure Roman doesn't.
Look at that. We just wrote for you, Triple H.
You could even have a Roman where he's like doesn't care and just walks away.
Right. Well, and the other one I read was someone said, well, you could have one of the Bloodline substitute wrestle for him. That would be some old school stuff that I haven't seen in years. Like, Roman couldn't be here, so Jay's defending the championship, you know? Hey.
They could do something.
Yeah, they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. Just got to keep the head of the table strong. So The Rock can come whoop that ass in Hollywood at WrestleMania.
You know, I love The Rock, but is that who we want to finally defeat?
I don't think
Roman
he will.
Reigns?
I don't think he will. I just think they want this match. To be honest, if they really have this match, I don't think you need the championships, but it's WrestleMania.
No, I'm cool with Roman Reigns versus The Rock. But considering Roman Reigns hasn't been pinned for, what, 2 years, 3 years?
He has not been pinned since 2019, and you never guess who the last person to pin him was.
Oh, who was it?
Baron Corbin.
Happy Corbin?
Before Happy, but yeah, Baron Corbin was the last one to pin him. It was at Extreme Rules, and it was an Extreme Rules match, and there were shenanigans, but still.
But it was before Head of the Table.
It was way before Head of the Table, yeah.
Was he still a face?
Yes.
Ah.
Yep, that's the last time Roman was pinned, so there you go. There you go.
Wow. Well, I don't have anything else. Are we ready for In Your House?
In Your House. This is going to be a little weird because it's a little bit shorter. We are ready, except I'm going to throw out just a couple things before we start.
Oh, he's bringing out his notes, bringing people. Out,
look, I'm going old school. This guy's like,
He is like, he's pushing up his glasses. All right, 1 second.
Fuck this guy over here. Look.
I'm the only one with glasses here, so.
I bring a notebook and a pen, and he's like, are you living in the 1800s? Your laptop's right on the floor.
Or phone.
Or phone. I'm old school, whatever.
We have notes on our phone. That's what I use.
You know. So at this point, 95, they have now added King of the Ring. So they're considering they have the big five pay-per-views, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, SummerSlam, King of the Ring. And so the plan within your house was, In Your House would happen every month in between the big five, and we'd have pay-per-views all the time. Back at this time, most pay-per-views were around 3 hours long, and they were $29.95. In Your House was 2 hours or less, and it was only $14.95.
Oh, well. Yeah.
So cheaper pay-per-view, fewer matches, and this actually, the legit reason they started it was to compete with Clash of the Champions. I don't know if you remember those, but WCW used to do them on TV for free. Oh. But they were like specials. They were almost like pay-per-views for free. Vince, you know, was like, I can make money and beat you, you know, whatever. So we get In Your House. And in this one, we were actually giving away a house.
I remember when I was a kid, like, I remember watching one of the In Your Houses, and I can't remember which one it was. All I remember is Shawn Michaels was very prominent in the In Your House.
Oh, yeah, in several of them.
In several of them?
Yes.
I remember going to a friend's house. I don't even remember which friend. I think it was like an old friend of a family.
He calls me the old guy and he can't remember anything.
I'm old. I can't remember crap. What am I going to say?
Yeah, actually, the first Hell in the Cell comes from In Your House.
Really?
Yeah. Bad Blood is the...
Oh.
Yeah, so...
I'm still looking forward to the first triple threat. Yeah. That will make things really exciting. I love a good triple threat match. Yeah.
But I actually remember this giveaway because I got a subscription to the WWF magazine for my 15th birthday. So I got an entry form from being a magazine subscriber. I don't know if they stuck them in the magazines on the shelves too, but it was, as long as you got a magazine and got that form, it was free to enter the giveaway for the house. So.
Huh.
We'll talk more about that later. Let's see what happens here. It's 1995 In Your House. All right, so we start out with a video package, of course, with the WWF logo and some cheap 90s porn music. And then we get a video montage of all the matches that'll be taking place in your house. And at the end of it, a thing, of course, about how they're giving away the house in Orlando, Florida. So we go to the ring for our first match, and coming down the aisle is none other than Hakushi, the Japanese warrior, Raiden from Mortal Kombat. And Blaze, no recollection of Hakushi, huh?
No, not at all. I recognize Raiden from Mortal Kombat.
Right? Yeah, Hakushi wasn't around long, but he was actually a big-time star in Japan at this time, but, you know, I wasn't watching Japanese wrestling. So Hakushi the Undefeated comes to the ring with his manager, Senja. I believe I'm saying that right. Ninja with an S at the beginning is what it sounds like they were saying. I don't know. Sinja! With his white face paint and his lovely stash and beard. But, you know, they come down and his opponent is Bret the Hitman Hart.
Isn't that technically Kabuki makeup?
I believe. Look at this guy with his knowledge. Hey, this guy knows a thing or two, though.
I remember Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD of trauma films.
I think you might have done Kabuki. Look, you knew about the kimono the last episode. Now you know about the Kabuki makeup. Are you hiding something from me, Blaze? I don't know.
I am interested in Asian cultures. I mean,
it's Japanese warrior coming out. Is that
what's... Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Cool. I like it. So before Bret comes out, he gets interviewed backstage, and he's talking about his two matches. Bret will be wrestling twice. not just Hakushi, but later on Jerry the King Lawler. And so he gets towards the end of the promo, and we find out this is taking place on Mother's Day, which is very weird. I got this when I was a kid. I said I was a horrible person. Mother's Day, I'm watching in your house. Like, thanks, Mom, for the gift. I don't know, but... So Brett wants to dedicate the match to his mom, but it was just funny and awkward because his music already starts playing. And they announced him already, but Brett's like, I'm not done with my promo, eh? I gotta say Happy Mother's Day. So we get to the action and...
Word to your mothers.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom, eh? I don't know. Maybe he got her some maple syrup for Mother's Day. Do you think that's...
Yeah? You know what I like to put? Every Mother's Day needs a Mother's Night. Doing it is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Wow, this guy over here.
Calling on you because I can do it myself. Sorry. Anyways,
what is happening?
Continue.
Where are we going right now? So, this is our kickoff match, and I like this match. I enjoyed this match.
This match is probably better than almost any match we've watched on the last two episodes that we have done.
Even better than the Blue Brothers?
That was a thing? I forgot about the Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers would have been a better option.
Absolutely.
Look, Hakushi was doing some killer stuff. And what else are you going to do? You have to Google this guy, because what else are you going to do if you tattoo your entire body with Japanese words? You don't have a lot of options as a profession, do you? And those were real, by the way. I don't know if you wondered that during the match, but that's legit.
Yeah, like, it was
his chest,
a lot of work.
Face, head, like he is completely covered. And who knows what it says. That could be the scary part. But
I love my mom.
So early on, they're dancing around. And one little thing I saw really that I enjoyed is I think Brett went to hit a move and Hakushi like did a cartwheel and just totally dodged Brett. And Brett got this shit-eating grin on his face and then gave like the little golf clap.
Like, nice move, little boy.
Nice move. So they're going back and forth. But I noticed every time, man, this guy hit an Irish whip. It sounded like Brett's back broke. Those Irish whips were intense. Maybe it was just the whip. But man, every time it was just like thud, thud, thud. Intense, intense. And then we can talk about Shinja.
Yeah, what about him?
What about him? There's several things about Shinja in this match. Like the spot where Bret Hart gets thrown out and the ref's back's turned. And here comes Shinja just starts stomping away on Bret while he's down on the floor.
Bret asked for that.
What did Brett do?
There was clearly a bug on his chest, and Shinja was just trying to help Brett out by taking it out.
Give me a break. I saw no bug. You're calling him an exterminator?
He's an exterminator. He was helping Brett out, stomping that bug.
Stomping a mud hole in his ass.
I believe I heard Brett ask him for help.
Sure, yeah, I must have missed that part too when he asked him for help. This guy over here. Well, what about the next incident? What about the next incident where Shinja distracts the ref? Rikishi's got Brett in the corner and he's choking him from the top rope.
Giving him a hug.
A hug. Oh, does he need consoled after the bug incident?
Absolutely.
Sure, that had to be what it
was. He was attacked by a deadly bug. I mean, wouldn't you be scared?
Oh, yeah, I'd be really scared.
I noticed Shinja gave him a hug, too.
I don't think he needs all these hugs. And they're awful funny hugs from behind with your hands around the neck.
Hugs, not drugs, kids. Hugs, not drugs.
Oh, my gosh. This guy over here. We got our Shinja fan club in the house. So after the hug, he takes him and the Irish whips him hard to the corner again. And he does this back elbow flip that he stole from the great Muda, by the way. So now he's stealing moves, too. He can't just give out hugs and bug squashes. He's got to steal moves from people.
What? You know, when a good guy does a move and steals it, it's honoring that past wrestler. A heel does it, and you're just like, he stole it.
Well,
the fuck is this shit?
Well, I mean, did he ask the great Muda if he could borrow it?
I don't know. Did he? How do you know? Do you know?
No, I guess I don't know.
But, oh, maybe he did.
Maybe he did. But I don't know if... Anyway, Brett asked for a bug to be stomped out. That kind of shit he's throwing out here. This guy over here. What about when Brett finally got his revenge? Not only did he take Shinja out, he dove through the middle rope and took that guy out.
That was just rude. I thought Bret Hart was a Canadian, which means he's like really, really, you know, nice. I thought Canadians were nice, and he just attacks Sinja for doing nothing but giving him a hug and killing a bug to save his life.
Killing a bug to save
his life. That is so rude of Bret Hart. What? That is not what Canadians are about.
A boot. You're giving Canada a bad name by being a bully. I thought it was great myself, though. I think he deserved it. Maybe Sinja had a bug on him. Did you ever think about that?
I don't think so. I didn't see a bug. I saw no bugs. I think you're just making stuff up.
Maybe, maybe not. But either way, Sinja deserved it. That's all.
Brett deserved it. You were right the first time.
This guy caught me in a pink. Not all Canadians are nice. How about that?
Well, clearly not. I mean, Bret Hart sure isn't. That man saved his life, and he just attacks him.
Saved his life. Saved his life. I'm sick of this guy already, and we're only in the first match. Well, besides all of the helping and the hugging, we got to talk about a spot we both liked, and that was the suplex.
Holy shit!
Wow.
That is the fan reaction if it was today's audience. Holy shit!
For sure, because Brett with the suplex.
Oh my gosh!
And they both went completely over the top rope. Not one of them, and stayed in the, like, you'd have to see it. They were in the formation the whole.
Normally, you see this spot and you bring that suplex up, and then you toss them over.
Yeah, exactly.
And no.
And he didn't even break the
suplex.
Bret
Hart just goes right over the rope. Both of them. Like, that had to have been dangerous as fuck.
Oh, it had to be. And maybe it was some miscommunication, because I did hear, and maybe that's why Hakushi wasn't around long, he didn't speak English. So sometimes...
Yeah, he was probably telling Brett, this is fucking bullshit. What the hell did you just do?
They were probably both shitting themselves. It was intense, but it was an amazing spot.
Oh my gosh, it was impressive. It was amazing. But yeah, I don't think that was... I'm not sure that was meant to happen.
I have never seen
anybody do a suplex over the rope and both go out.
No. And there were a couple of botches, but nothing major. And if it was a botch, you couldn't tell. It looked great, so it's fine. And of course, Brett went for the sharpshooter. We got some more distraction, and they went back and forth. In the end, we got a victory roll-up by Brett. But I didn't hate it. I thought that ending sequence was pretty good.
Okay, let's...
Did I miss something? Oh, here you go.
No. The victory roll-up I actually liked in this match because it made sense in the story of the match. You had Sinja...
Trying everything.
...helping out Brett constantly. And
wow.
And so Brett wasn't able to get the
sharpshooter
yeah. because Sinja kept on getting on the ropes. So you have Brett doing a quick and fast victory roll up to get the win out and get out of that match because he's got a match later on.
So the storyline
for that victory roll up actually fit.
Yeah, I agree. It
fit the story.
If it makes sense.
Based on the thing.
Yes.
So I actually really like the victory roll up in.
I did too. They're okay when they're done right.
Yeah.
You know.
Unfortunately, a lot of these early shows have a lot of them. They have a lot of, like, old schools victory roll-up.
But usually,
I think that's why they call it old school, is because in the old school days,
and we're in the
they
old
used
school.
Them a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And there were a lot of that. There was a lot of arm drags, you know, all the old school technical stuff.
Overall, I like a good arm drag, though.
It was a good
match. And the arm drags were cool. Yeah, so...
But the end, after the end... When Brett's out there doing his Hulk Hogan, Brett must pose thing. So Brett goes to get out of the ring, and he got caught up in the rope a little bit, and we can't see it because the camera's way back, but you can tell he wiped out, and now all of a sudden he's limping back to the locker room. So he hurt his knee.
All I gotta say is if this is a work, it was a stupid way to do it.
Yeah, I believe this is to tell a story, but why do it like
you
this?
You had Sinja there doing things. You had, you know, clear heels going on. Storyline wise, you have them do something to his knee.
Yeah,
and that's your story. This whole, oops, Bret Hart screwed up and tripped.
Oops.
It has to be real. Because if it's not real, it's really fucking stupid of a story.
See if I can find it. See, I usually know all this stuff. And I, from what I remember, I think this was just because of that. But like you said, a Sinja could have took his knee out at any point.
Anytime.
Any point. There was plenty of chances
There was
for
plenty
him to
of ways that they could have made that work. And then you have the, oh no, Bret has to overcome adversity story.
Exactly. But
I'm fine with the Bret Hart overcoming adversity, but the adversity is because he accidentally goes out the ring the wrong way.
You're a dumbass and can't crawl out of the fucking ring. That's not adversity.
It really brought down a relatively good match.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
So good. I'm giving this a 3.5. 3.5 poisonous bugs.
Poisonous bugs. This motherfucker over here, I'll tell you what. I agree. It was a good match. The ending night was okay. It was just the whole out-of-the-ring thing was the only thing that ruined it. But
I almost gave this a 4. Unfortunately, even though I understood and agree with the story of the roll-up, it was kind of a lackluster end. Even though it made sense story-wise, it did kind of affect my rating a little bit.
I can see that. I think because we've had such crappy matches in our last two...
3.5's the highest number I've given anything in a while.
Yeah, it has been crappy. But I can agree with you because of those few reasons. I'm going to go 3.5 Hakushi hugs.
Hakushi hugs.
Hakushi hugs.
Dude, you're starting to buy in. You're starting to buy into my mindset. You're buying in.
I'm not coming to the dark side. I don't care if you have cookies or not. I'm not doing it. So let's see what's...
Why not? Cookies are delicious.
Cookies are delicious. Let's see what In Your House has in store next. All right, before our next match, we get a backstage segment with the Superstar Hotline, where they're trying to get kids that are too young to make phone calls to call them for $1.49 a minute. Get your parents' permission, kids, first. And I forgot to mention on the last match that they showed just a quick segment of Jerry Lawler backstage watching the Bret Hakushi match. So Lawler shows up in the 1-800 Superstar thing, and he's like, "Where's Bret? I'm ready for the match right now. Let's do this." And of course, they say Bret was injured, and Lawler says, "I didn't see a thing. I didn't see Bret get hurt. I
paged him off."
Well, it was his mom.
It was his mom.
You don't believe him?
Well,
it was his mom. You don't believe him?
Well. No, I don't, and I had life because it was a pager, but we are in our time machines. This is 1995. He's like, "Oh, it's my
dad. The Hitman."
So after that little funny bit, we get our next match. And once again, it's J-E-F-F. Again, it's J-E-F-F, J-A-R-R-E-T-T. But this time, Razor's tired of the bullshit, man, so it's a handicap match. It's Jared and the Roadie against Razor Ramon, and the title is not on the line.
He's taking on two Chicos.
And they actually tell us that the kid's injured, and right before Razor came out, or maybe when Razor was coming out, they were trying to talk to the 1-2-3 kid on the phone, and I couldn't make out anything he was saying. It was like going through McDonald's, you know, to make an order, like, And Vince is like, "That's right, kid, my God." And again, we get a promo before the match with Razor this time, and he goes longer than he's supposed to, but this time they didn't play the music. They just awkwardly stopped playing Jarrett's before Razor came out. So the first thing I want to say about this match is I thought it was too long.
Really?
Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Maybe I'm tired of the Jarrett and Razor angle. I don't remember it being this long when I was a kid. It wasn't horrible.
I thought this was the best match they've done so far.
Oh, of this series? Yes.
Of the series, yeah,
yes. This absolutely has been the best one. It has. Yes, that lot. I will agree with that. And there were a few shenanigans, but nothing crazy. It was really just tag team wrestling. I mean, the Road Dogg attacked Razor on the outside once when he was chasing Jared around the ring, distracted the ref a few times, you know. But, it was our first match seeing the Road Dogg wrestle. And he did get in there. I couldn't remember. I've seen this match, but I couldn't remember if he gets tagged in or not. But he was in there a couple of times.
He's in there a couple times. Yeah.
But as far as this feud, it was the best match. It was okay. I mean, I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about this one. Not like I did the first one.
I mean, we're almost halfway done.
We are. These pay-per-views are so short.
We're almost halfway done already. Just these two matches have been a delight. Yeah. A delight. Compared to what
we've been through, I will agree with that. That I will agree with. We've been through some rough times.
I mean, if this is the worst match of your pay-per-view...
Oh, yeah, I couldn't... So far there's not a match. I wouldn't have been like, "Oh, this is horrible." I'm not saying that at all. I think I just got... But as far as quality and everything, it told a good story. Razor was getting beat up really bad, and every time, you know, that he got a big move, both men would be down, and the one guy, you know, Jared or Roddy's going for a tag, and Razor has no one. It told a great story. Good match, no complaints. Just nothing special, I guess. Nothing special to say about it, but don't hate it, that's for sure. I didn't hate it.
I'm going to give it 2.5. Oh, you didn't know?
You didn't know? I'm going to go ahead and give it, like I said, I can't complain. The finish wasn't bad. I'm going to give this 3 Chicos.
Oh, you did know.
I did know?
You did know.
How did I know? All right, so let's see what's next for us on In Your House. All right, so before our next match, we get another backstage segment. Lawler is crying now to Jack Tunney about wanting to have his match with Bret Hart right now. He doesn't want Bret to have a break. He wants it right now. Jack Tunney, talk about a flashback. The president of the WWF. Do you remember Jack Tunney?
I remember
him. Times, yeah. He was yeah, Lawler wants his match now. He doesn't want to wait for Bret. He wants to do it right now, right this minute.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah,
he's excited.
He is. He's excited. He wants to make sure Bret's okay from the bug incident.
Understand.
So after that, our next match is actually a King of the Ring qualifying match. And it is Mabel of Men on a Mission against Adam Bomb. And Adam Bomb had a pretty cool entrance.
Yeah,
cool
he got look. Like a little bit of a mushroom cloud.
We got a nuke cloud.
Might be insensitive, but, you know, I thought it was cool.
It would get canceled today. But back then it was fine.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I don't know why Adam Bomb wasn't around longer. I thought he had a good look. Big guy, he could move. You know, he dominated most of this matchup with Mabel. And he even did a diving attack outside.
Yeah, that was cool. However, his slingshot clothesline, little weak.
Little weak. He missed. He missed.
Yeah, it was like Mabel wasn't close enough for that to work.
No. And then you had the great kick from Mabel that Vince McMahon said was devastating.
Oh my gosh, Mabel just was tall enough to lay on his back and then get a foot up. That was his kick.
It was a little bit of a rough kick. The real question, though, I have about this match, and you're an expert when it comes to managers, what was Mo doing?
Not a damn thing.
I know. Really. Like, what the hell?
There was no...
At this point, like, okay, so I'm not watching the Raws in between, and I wish I had the time for that, but Oscar's gone, which was their real manager who rapped, and Mabel's now turning bad, and they're still saying they're been on the mission, but Mo is in street clothes and just stood out there with his mohawk.
Well, in fairness, when you have someone as huge as Mabel, do you really need to cheat?
No. Mabel is massive. And even though it was a quick match, and you actually corrected me because I tried to call it a squash, and it wasn't. I like the way it went down because Adam Bomb pretty much dominated everything, but then Mabel caught him in midair and just said, okay, fuck you, and laid down. Like, he just crushed him. He just crushed him.
I mean, it wasn't, like, spectacular, but it was all right.
No, but even when he hit it, I said it was over, and I didn't know. I don't remember this match at all, but I'm like, yep, that's it. It's over. He's not getting up from that.
I mean, we've had some weak, and never thought that there would be a match that focused only on Adam Bomb and Mabel, but here we are.
Here we are. But it was the King of the Ring qualifiers, so we do know that we will see Mabel in the King of the Ring tournament.
Oh, I actually missed that. That's cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So that made it make even more sense, actually.
Right. Yeah. That's why they threw it in here. But you guys have, let's see, we've already had one King of the Ring, right? You guys already covered.
Yeah, we got to watch one King of the Ring. This will be the second one.
This will be the second one, and it's still a big deal. So they had a qualifier, you know, in your house, and I like it. I dig it.
Yeah.
Quick match.
Wonderful, we'll get another one.
Fun match. I remember Mabel being really bad. He didn't look too bad in this match, but Adam Bomb carried most of it.
Yeah, Mabel, he was fine. I mean, he did what he needed to do as a big man. I mean, there was the weird kick.
The weird kick.
But you know what? Hey, kudos for trying.
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's a big man. He's not. He don't look as big as Yoko, but that's because he's taller than Yokozuna. But he's got to be up there in that same 500-600 pounds, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah, he's big
for sure. So not bad. It was decent. I didn't hate it, but is what it is. I'm going to give it 2 mushroom clouds.
Two mushroom clouds. I give it 2 failed enziguris.
That's what he was attempting, and it was more just like lay down kicks.
I couldn't call it that during the thing because right. It did not happen. That's not.
But on a side note, I want to say like these Jerry Lawler is gold. I just want to mention that. Right. Jerry Lawler is great, and this whole little these few little backstage teases, I'm enjoying every one of them. Where he's just like, come on,
yeah, he's been like the focus of this pay per view.
He has. It's like
we haven't
like
even seen Bret Hart since the first match.
Nope, not.
But we're seeing Jerry the King Lawler all over the place.
You would think that was the main event. Oh, I forgot to mention that before this match, we got a video package of Sid and him just destroying everybody that he came across.
And him with his awesome theme music that sounds like a horror movie.
Look, that Psycho Sid's WWF theme is the best one he ever had. I love that music.
I liked it.
And they showed a little clip in there, I'm sure you saw at the end, where they showed him powerbombing Sean, and Sean was getting carried off a stretcher. Sean's legit hurt at this point, and they needed to write him off TV.
Oh.
So Sid turned on him. And powerbombed him 3 times.
We're not getting Sean at this in your house?
We're not getting Sean at this in your house. Aww. Sorry. It was supposed to be Sean and Diesel, but because of the injury, they had to change things. And Sid ended up joining the Million Dollar Corporation, and it was a plan all along, is what they're telling us. Like Ted.
Any idea how or what his injury is?
It was his back, but this was not when he broke it, but it was a back injury.
Gotcha.
So that is why we are going to get Psycho Sid versus Diesel in our main event.
Gotcha.
Let's see what's next. All right, so I guess before I can explain this segment before the next match, we forgot to mention after Jeff Jarrett and the Roadie lost to Razor, they started beating him down, and for some reason Aldo Montoya came out to try to save him. He got beat up, and then some guy that nobody knew came out and just started whooping everybody's ass.
Quang!
Yes, Quang without the mask. It was funny, too. I don't know how he missed it, because they wanted us to believe like he wasn't a wrestler or something, even though it took him forever to get him out of the ring. But anyway, before the next match, Razor is backstage, and here we find out this is Razor's buddy from the hood, I guess, Savio Vega.
Savio Vega.
Or Quang. Which is
Quang. We're pretending Quang didn't exist.
Yeah, and the Godfather's going to be really mad. I haven't got that hate mail yet, though. So our next match is for the tag team titles. It's a rematch from WrestleMania, and the Smoking Guns don't even get... We don't see their entrance. We just see them standing in the ring with the music playing. And while this is going on, here comes Jerry again.
He's Lawler. Trying to get in the ring. He wants to wrestle.
Forget the tag team match. Where's Brett? I want to do this right now.
So far, Jerry the King Lawler has been in between every match.
Every match. He has been in a segment, the whole night. Like, it's great stuff. Like, Jerry Lawler is an amazing entertainer. We'll see how the match goes when we get to it. But and of course, the Smoking Guns appointments, their opponents are Yokozuna and Owen Hart, accompanied to the ring by Mr. Fuji and James E. Cornette.
Well, we got a Bart and Billy Gunn for our appointment today at 6 o'clock.
Is that appointment?
Check.
Is that appointment for
check.
Death?
Appointment for death.
Appointment for
death.
Well,
I think Bart died in this match.
Yeah, Billy died in the first one and somehow was there again, and Bart died this time. And
he was resurrected.
I forgot how much I liked Yoko and Owen as a tag team. This was not a long match, but...
It was a decent match.
It was a good match. There were Owen and Yoko tagged often. And the Smoky Guns had some good moves again. They weren't a bad tag team. It was 1995 and no one wanted Cowboys anymore.
Like, nobody wanted Cowboys.
Like, the pew-pew coming out and all that. Pew, and just pew. Those mullets. Like, it was just too much.
Yeah.
It was too much.
I liked this match. One thing I liked about this match is this match told a story. And you saw, like, they threw Yokozuna into the ring post and knocked Yoko out. And you could tell that the Smoking Guns were trying to finish the match as quickly as possible while Yoko was out. Yeah. That's good storytelling.
Yeah, it was urgency. Like,
Yoko is a huge chance. Guy. He is a problem. He's hard to pin. You have a much better chance with Owen Hart. So you knock out Yoko, and then you go straight and you try to speed up and end this match. I liked it. It didn't work out for them.
No, no.
But I liked the story.
Exactly. And at this whole pay-per-view, like, I couldn't remember In Your House as clearly, but every one of these matches, and even if they're quick like this, if the story's right and it's done properly, it's good stuff.
It is.
The story was right in this. And when Bart, you know, Bart went for some kind of maneuver and Owen moved and Bart
ended up missed. And he totally got into the ring. And I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I did a free trial to become a wrestler. And I got to go in there. I got to jump, bounce on those ropes. Those ropes are no joke.
Yeah.
They are no joke. When they say steel ropes, they mean it. This has got like a little bit of padding on a steel rope.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah. And I also, it was about 7 years ago now, but I also went to the local school here and did a tryout and stuff. My back looked like I got whipped with an actual whip.
Oh my gosh.
Like a bull whip. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was like, we essentially, the entire trial was learning how to fall on our back.
Yeah. The flat back fall.
It's like, yeah, fly back.
Running the ropes till I died was something I had to do. That was not a... Yeah, say what you want. It's not easy.
No, I mean, if there was ever a thing for me to realize that, you know, these guys are, you know...
Athletes.
Yes. Athletes.
Yes.
Because none of that was...
Even the actual ring, that quote-unquote ring mat, that's... The ring hurts.
Oh, I was sore for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I was sore for 2 weeks. Now, I wasn't able to continue it because I'm poor. I couldn't afford it. But I enjoyed the experience.
Yeah, it was on my bucket list, and maybe I could have swung it, but I found out that day that I don't have cardio anymore, and I was only 35 then. Like, I couldn't breathe.
Now, did you do did you do the local one with Jimmy the Nightmare Lee?
Yes, I did. And he was there that day, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And said, I was accepted, and I said, I can't breathe and I don't have the money.
I can't breathe. I can't afford to kill myself.
So I checked it off my bucket list.
Okay, I tried.
I can say I did it.
Well, I wouldn't mind if we can make it happen, because I'm friends with him.
Yeah.
And I would like to interview him.
Oh, I would totally.
I would like to get him on the show and talk to him.
Yeah.
And see if we can get that happen. I'm friends with him. I think I can make it. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
And he has said yes, but now it hasn't worked out so far.
Right.
So it may never happen. He's a local wrestler. I mean, I guess if you're listening to this in like Zimbabwe, you might not give a shit about a local wrestler from Ohio. But
that's right.
Here he's kind of a big deal. I mean, locally.
And there's been some stars that went through that school, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's an indie legend. For sure.
Madman Fulton is one of the bigger ones.
Yeah. Yes, he is. And someone else associated with that is he still going by Johnny Paradise? You know Johnny Paradise, right?
I just did a movie with Johnny Paradise, actually.
So you know Johnny Paradise.
Chris Hahn is his real name, and he's a stuntman now. Yeah. So, he was wrestling. He actually wrestled for WWE for a short while.
He did. And when I was a kid, I met him when I was a kid and hung around him a lot because he used to frequent somewhere my mom worked. And that's but the most famous thing I remember him doing is he wrestled The Undertaker and got set on fire.
That was, oh, really?
As a jobber, yeah.
Man.
So we got a little bit of local. We know some people.
Yeah, no. No, I just did it. I was an extra in a movie, and he... He's a stuntman now because he had a tumor, unfortunately, which ended his wrestling career. He can't wrestle anymore. And now he's a stuntman.
Nice.
He was in the that one movie on Netflix, Red Notice or something like that.
The Rocks movie?
With The Rock.
Rock and Ryan Reynolds, yes.
Ryan Reynolds.
Red Notice, you're right.
Yeah. Wonder Woman. Gal Gadot.
Yeah. We all say that, though. Sorry. Yeah. Wonder Woman, you know.
So he was in that movie. We were talking about it, and he told me that, you know, The Rock is one of the most humble men he has ever met, because he's like, I was on that script, or on that script.
He was on that script.
He was He was on the that movie.
Yeah.
And The Rock was the type of guy who would go up. He would go to the garbage man, like, "Hey, how you doing? You're doing a great job. I'm very proud of you." Like, he would go to everyone. He didn't care who you were. He wasn't too, humble to be like, "Oh, no, you're beneath me. I'm not talking to you." No, he would talk to everyone according to Johnny.
And he comes across that way. You know, that's the...
This is twice. I mean, we did an interview with Chris Holyfield.
Yeah.
And he also mentioned how... awesome of a guy The Rock was. You know, that's twice on this. I've talked to people that have met The Rock and found out he's just such a good dude.
Never forgot where he came from. It's probably a big part of that.
Yeah.
The Rock just stays humble.
And I enjoy Young Rock. I don't know if you watch it. I love
Absolutely,
Young Rock.
And it's great.
Young Rock is fantastic, and we're starting to get into the WWF years.
Yes.
So it's really cool. It is. I really enjoy it. I mean,
look, I love everything Rock. That's just
The Rock.
Look, I have his shoes on right now. If you're not hip to that, I got on the Under Armour Rock shoes. This energy drink I'm drinking is Zoa by The Rock. These are free plugs. We don't get sponsored. So yeah, I'm all about The Rock.
Well, he's humble, so maybe eventually he'll sponsor us.
Because I'm sure he listens.
The Rock says the Boomer and Blaze show is the greatest show of all time.
I like it. I smell that if The Rock's cooking that up. That's great.
Was that The Rock? Was that The Rock on the Boomer and Blaze show?
Where? Are you hiding
where?
Him?
What?
I didn't know we had room well, we can't tell you where we are. It's secret.
No,
it's a studio. Yeah, it's a secret location.
This is the internet. Fuck you all. You don't need the internet. You don't need to know.
It's like the Batcave. We cannot let you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to get hoarded by all the crazy women and stuff. You know, it's just nuts.
Okay, but where we are is not... When you say it like that, let's go. Yeah, like women are listening to this podcast.
Listen, actually, believe it or not, I love the Anchor app. You know, I'm new to all this. Anchor, you haven't heard of it? It's the easiest way to do your podcast. Check it out.
Indeed.
They have a tool that shows us our audience, the breakdown of the analytics, and we do actually have some women that listen to this show. It's a very small percentage.
A very small percentage.
But we do have a few females. Yes, and we also have a couple of fans in the UK, so shout out to you guys.
I'll be damned.
Because I'll take it. It's also a small percentage, but we'll take some UK fans and some women.
I'll take all the...
Hi, ladies. We appreciate it.
Hello, ladies.
Are you really listening, or are you just like listening when your man is, and you're like, God, turn this shit off.
Yeah.
No one wants to hear this.
The man is just using their Spotify.
That's probably it.
That's probably what it is.
All those ladies are listening to me, us goo-goo over Pam Anderson. That's what that right there.
It's like, click, I'm out of this. He's shoving his pigs.
Boy, that went south fast, didn't it? So where were we? What?
Ranking this taxi match with Yoko and Owen Hart.
Because we forgot to mention that when Bart ended up on the outside... The refs were distracted, and Yoko killed Bart Gunn this time with a leg drop on the damn outside of the ring.
That is like 600-plus pounds.
On your face.
On your face.
Yes.
He's dead.
And so is Yoko's ass cheek, probably. That one.
Also made sense that he threw him in the ring, Owen Hart got the easy pin.
This time Owen wasn't even like, he didn't even attempt anything else, he just laid on him. It wasn't like the last match when he thought about a sharpshooter. This time he's just like, this shit's over.
He's dead.
Dude, I just forgot. I love seeing Yoko because I remember him being big, but man, Yoko was just so believable and dominant, and you knew Bart was done.
Oh, yeah.
I had no question. There was no kicking out of that shit. It was
No.
Good storytelling, good tag team match. Good for you and your house for putting these last couple of ones to shame. I really enjoyed this one.
It's sad that this is outshining WrestleMania.
Like, big time.
Big time.
It outshined WrestleMania with one match and an intro.
And it's continued.
Because at least in this intro, it was the matches and not celebrities.
With Adam Bomb.
And Mabel.
And Mabel is still better than what we got at WrestleMania. We had too many ridiculous ends with WrestleMania and Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Too
many ridiculous endings. And
except for the actual Royal Rumble, which had a fun ridiculous end.
Right. And the hot mess that was WrestleMania 11 with the production and the crappy... Oh, I don't know. You know what this In Your House needs is Bob Backlund.
No. No, please. God, no.
They mentioned him on here, and Blaze is like, we're not done with Backlund yet.
I want to give this tag team match 3. Please God no, Bob Backlund does not show up.
Well, I'm going to give this match 4 leg drops that killed Bart Gunn.
4?
Yeah.
You're giving this a 4. That match?
I know it was short, but the storytelling and the tag team wrestling, the smoking guns, that double team move, this time it was like a diamond cutter, but the guy was facing up instead of down. Owen and Yoko with the quick tag. It was just overall, it was quick. But
I felt like it was too short to go that high, but you know, it wasn't a bad match, not so I all. Guess I can't knock you.
Yeah.
All right.
On to the next. All right, before our next match, we get a backstage interview with the champ, Diesel, and he talks about it being Mother's Day. They're really pounding the fact it's Mother's Day, aren't they?
Well, a lot of mothers were pounded for them all to be here. Well, on
that note, he talks about how his mom died a year ago.
You got to bring that up now. Hey,
it's what he said. I'm just repeating what the champ said. So he talks
around
about...
Around Christmas, too.
That's what he said, right. He said a year ago around Christmas time. Like,
ouch.
But I'm standing here champ now, so it's okay. It doesn't matter.
Oh, no.
I'm horrible. It's fine. Then he talks about the $1 million corporation's plot, and apparently they hired Henry Godwin as an assassin, and it didn't work out. The pig farmer couldn't take Big Daddy Cool out. What a shame. And then he talks about his conflicting feelings for Sean, because, you know, Sean's not going to be a babyface since snapped. And then we go to the ring, and we finally are going to get Jerry Lawler versus Bret Hart. And what did you think? Jerry brought his mom with him. What did you think about Jerry's mom, Blaze?
Well, there was a song I sang earlier.
There was.
Every Mother's Day needs a Mother's Night. Doing it is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Hey, I'm telling you, this was not Jerry Lawler's mom. But she might have called him
Poppy. I'm pretty sure she was young enough to be his daughter.
Definitely.
Almost.
Definitely. But he played it off like it was his mom. And she was going to sit at ringside for the match. Oh, great stuff.
Lawler is fantastic.
Lawler is gold all the way around.
He is the biggest weasel in wrestling, and I love it.
Yes. A true definition of a heel and a weasel. And it's just... it's
which cool. is crazy. Because one of his biggest moments in wrestling is being the face to Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if there's anything more famous he's... like, he was big in Memphis. WWF, but...
yeah, the Andy Kaufman thing had to be one of his biggest
things
of his whole career. And he was in WWF a long time, but as far as titles and wrestling, Memphis was his height of
wrestling, at least.
Yeah, at this point, when he comes to WWF, he's already been one of the largest stars.
Yeah, he's like 47 here.
And he's already been established, been a champion and all that by the time he come here. So, yeah, he's already a legend. But, so Lawler's out there with his mom, and then we get a backstage segment. Todd Pettengill's interviewing Brett before he comes out. He asks him how the knee is, and
100%.
Brett's 100%. Jumping up and down. Got him.
I went from thinking the whole fact that he hurt his knee, just like tripping, and we mentioned there was better ways you could do this. To loving this ankle,
right?
He was playing possum. He was just messing with Jerry Lawler, which. I loved.
But look, it was gold when they started playing Brett's music, and he did a zombie walk out of the locker room.
Yeah, he kept on faking it, and then like, whoop, and just sprighting down, and yes. Lawler's face is like, wait, what?
Oh, shit.
I thought he was injured.
Brett starts just dancing down the ring. It's great stuff. And then he goes in there and just starts pounding on Lawler, like, right away.
Oh, too. Yeah.
Like, he's whooping that ass.
Although, this is another short match.
It was another short match. It was. Again, a good story. They're fighting along. Jerry gives Brett a pile driver pretty early, and Brett popped up pretty quick. He almost Hogan that shit, like, fuck your pile driver.
I tell you what, every time I see a pile driver, it's scary.
It is.
It really is scary.
But from the, it hasn't happened yet. We haven't traveled back, but it can cause, that's what happened to Stone Cold's neck.
I know, that's why it's scary.
Yeah, the bad pile driver from Owen, man. Yeah, it's dangerous, that's for sure. It's dangerous, but, it was a good match. It was very entertaining, and it was going along pretty good. And then all of a sudden, guess who's back? Shinja. Ginger's back. Back again. To distract the ref. And be Jerry's friend.
Being, whoa. I'm the heel here, and you're being very racially insensitive.
What?
Hell's I heard that. Ginger back.
Back again.
Back again.
That's not heelish. That's just, I'm just imitating Ginger.
You know, being culturally insensitive is what you're doing.
Don't get me canceled.
Which is a very heelish thing to do.
Heelish. Paul Hogan was heelish sometimes. It's fine. Brett was a little heelish in the match.
Well, what,
this match.
We found out that Hulk Hogan is a heel all the time. In real life.
In real life, he is. Maybe I'm that way. You don't know me in real life.
I heard that. That voicemail that you did.
Wow, we're getting off track on this one, aren't we? Where was I? Oh, yeah, I was being insensitive, is what you said. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he had no business being out there. But here he comes, and he's distracting the ref, and Lawler goes to send Brett into the ropes, or vice versa, whichever, and the ref completely flies over and gets his leg trapped in the ropes.
These things happen.
Shinsuke is standing there.
Shinsuke?
I'm sorry.
Nakamura?
Shinja.
Do they all look the same to you, Whoa!
No, Shinsuke doesn't wear the kabuki makeup, so they don't all look the same.
Oh, damn. That's the only way you can tell them apart. Actually, I'm not entirely sure that kabuki makeup dude is white. So.
He might be.
Or not white. I mean...
Wow, so now he's insensitive.
If there is not an Asian man underneath that makeup, then I'm not the one insensitive, okay?
So then Hakushi comes back out again, and for some reason he has a new rag on. Now who's being insensitive? I don't know what that was about. Like, it didn't look right. It looked a little weird that he had that on his head.
So he has all these Japanese characters all over
everywhere.
His face. And the do-rag is what bothers
me. It looks weird,
that's
yes.
That's what bothers me. All these tattoos.
It doesn't go with the tattoos. Like, wait, I don't know. It seemed out of place.
Sure.
Sure.
I don't know that this man is the height of fashion. I'm just saying. Well,
neither was 1995, I guess. But whatever.
Have you seen how many mullets we've had?
A lot of mullets.
In this
show. And let me tell you, Todd Bentgill's mullet is like legit. Todd Bentgill has a legit. And then he's got the ear pierce. Like, well, he's
Sid
really
Vicious mullet.
Mullet.
Todd Pettengale.
Both smoking guns.
Yeah, Razor Ramon.
Razor, it was a mullet. I'm sorry, buddy.
I mean.
But it was.
I don't think 1995 is well versed on fashion, okay?
Not really, no, but it's fine. It's fine. Well, with the skull cap and all, Hakushi came out and helped double team Brett. Gave him two flying headbutts. And Lawler took advantage of it and won the match. It was Hakushi's revenge for his undefeated streak.
Hakushi's revenge.
Going down. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed a little... I enjoyed the story. It wasn't a great match.
No.
But I enjoyed the story, and I love heels being heels, especially in the ring. Being whiny, doing...
Oh, yeah.
Overselling. Lawler is one of those great ones.
The king. Literally.
I mean, right now, we don't have Sean here. We don't have... And he didn't really oversell anything in this match.
No.
But I've seen him oversell some stuff, and he's good at it. But we don't have Million Dollar Man. We don't have Sean. And those two... Ric Flair was another one that was really good at selling stuff. We need to get some more people in there.
And it'll happen in 96. Yeah, that'll happen. Sean's injured. Flair, I think, has already left to get at this point, if I'm correct.
We haven't seen Shawn Mike or Ric Flair in the last couple match or pay-per-views.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
he didn't last long his first run. His second run in WWE was much, much longer. That's for sure.
Well, that's quite a while away.
Yeah. It's a little ways away, yeah.
That's like past his prime.
Yeah. It is.
So, what do you rate this?
This one, it was what it was. The fake, though, was great. So, I'm going to give this 2.5 fake knee injuries.
I'm going to give this 2.5
Gotcha, bitch.
The best part of the match really was, I think, the entrance was the best part of the match. And I love the fact I don't remember this in your house. I know I watched it, but I do not remember this stuff.
I was dreading this in your house. To be honest with you.
So was I.
I mean, not dreading because I enjoy doing this podcast.
Right, but.
But, I mean, after the last two pay-per-views, one being Royal Rumble, one being WrestleMania, I'm like, there's no way this in your house is going to be any good. We have nothing but crap wrestlers. And then you tell me Sean's not here.
Yeah. And we were worried about that fucking production crew from WrestleMania, because good God. Oh, no sound, gosh. No lights, missing ring aprons. In your house has had no technical issues.
No technical issues.
The lighting's been good.
And you know. Even the crap matches that you would think would be crap matches have been entertaining.
Mabel versus Adam Bomb on paper should have been horrible. And it was not a horrible match. It wasn't.
No, it wasn't. I mean, there was
none of these have been horrible. We've seen some shitty matches.
I did 0.5 on a couple of them.
None of these have been shit.
I think we've done two. Two is the worst we've done.
Yeah.
Out of five. That's not terrible.
No, not at all.
Slightly below average, but...
But still, it's outperforming WrestleMania.
Outperforming WrestleMania,
your first
indeed.
Experimental pay-per-view between the big five is outperforming your biggest show of the year.
Yeah.
With no roster.
I'm surprised. Yeah, so, no roster. They're making things work. One thing they did is they had Bret Hart come out twice.
And he could do it, so why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Do it, Bret. The kid was hurt legit, and that was supposed to be a tag team match, and they said, hey, why not have Razor do it? And again, it was a story. You know, Rhodey's been fucking with him all this time and interfering. The kid had his back, but they took the kid out, and Razor said, hey, I'll do it anyway. I'll do it without the kid, and I'll do it for the kid. I mean, the whole thing is, the story's been great. This is what wrestling, you know, storytelling's part of wrestling. This has had it.
Here's the thing, and don't get me wrong, I enjoyed the handicap match, but you bring out Savio Vega. Why didn't you have it be like a mystery partner situation?
Exactly. Instead of him just being out there and going, we don't know who this guy is and you don't belong here, but we all know if it would have been real life, the police would have been in there like right away. You know? So, I mean, I'm just saying. You kind of knew that he was going to be a wrestler, you know. But if he really was like a random fan, he would have been getting his ass kicked right away. Like, they would have took care of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Very quickly, so. But I agree. It could have been a mystery partner. He could have built it up like, oh, I got a friend from the past.
I liked what they did. I think that would have been better.
Yeah, but it worked.
We just forgot to mention it. That's all. Savio Vega. Well, you know.
It should have just been Razor and Quang.
These things happen.
They do.
All right. Well, let's watch this main event.
Yeah, and let's see if they actually show the giving away of the house.
Sid Vicious. That excitement. Versus Diesel.
Let's do it. All right, so before the main event, we have to actually give this house away, and I love that they were showing this video of all the entries coming to the arena, and it was an armored car with police security to protect the pieces of paper that are coming to the arena, because it's very important that we don't lose that.
Right.
And then they do this whole, like, let's stir it up thing and whatever. They got with rakes. It was horrible. He throws the chick in the pit so she can draw out the winner. They call the number and they dial it wrong the first time. It was a good segment. But anyway, a little backstage on this, though. This was real. This 11-year-old did win this house, but their parents had just moved to Las Vegas and had no interest in it, so they sold the house 6 months later for $175,000.
Damn.
That today's like $350,000 in today's money.
So, wow, you really did your research.
Yeah, that house paid for that young man's college. That's what they did with the money, so good for them.
What did he do for college?
Good question. I didn't research that.
He didn't go that far. He went to college.
He went to college.
I don't know what he did, but he went to college.
And now he's living on the corner. No, I'm joking.
Oh,
just joking. Damn. But he did have, I don't know if it happens on Raw or whatever, but he did actually get to go into the house and have some fun before he moved, you know, when they drove him to there in a limo, and the Bushwhackers were waiting there to greet him and stuff. It was great classic 80s cheese, but I'm not sure exactly what show that took place on. But then we finally get our main event for the WWF Championship, Big Daddy Cool Diesel against Psycho Sid. And it was pretty good. I mean, it wasn't horrible.
I don't... No, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't horrible, but there was a lot of... So, I'm on mixed feelings on submissions. If you're a submission wrestler, a lot of times you're known for submission wrestling, and normally you're pretty good at it, and it's entertaining. Psycho Sid did... Half this match was him sitting on Diesel.
With camel clutches.
With a lame camel clutch. And it was just like, Psycho Sid's not really selling it.
No.
Like, there's no selling with those camel clutches. So it's literally you just watching him hold his... He's not, like, trying to, like, pull back and make it look painful. It just was like he was sitting on there. So I don't know if I agree with your... It wasn't terrible. It wasn't terrible.
No.
But there was a little bit too much. For two big men in the ring, there was a little too much submission going on. And it wasn't entertaining submission. Like, no. You want... I tell you, right here is the gold standard with submission. Kurt Angle, angle lock.
Oh, yeah.
That looks painful every time he does it.
I was a little confused about all the camel clutches, too. And to me, it's either... They needed the rest. Like, they kept running out of breath, or Sid forgot spots of the match. I mean, that's what it makes me think. It's like, I don't know what to do next. I'm going to go. And, like, nobody, like you said, it wasn't even, like, at no point did I believe Diesel was going to give up to this camel clutch.
No.
He was just like, let me up so I can do something, dude, like this. I'm getting a little bored down here.
I was getting a little bored over here.
Yeah, right? But, I mean, there was one good spot was when Ted got up on the apron at one point, and, Diesel, of course, was distracted, and Sid came from behind and gave him a knee, and he just took Diesel completely out of the ring with a knee to the back.
Yeah, well...
That was a good shot.
There wasn't bad... I mean, there wasn't, like, no good moments or anything. It's just... I felt like it dragged on a little too long with those camel clutches.
And believe it or not, this was one of the shorter ones. Like, the longest match in this pay-per-view was Brett and Hakushi at 15 minutes. This was 10 minutes and 30 seconds.
Well... About 5 minutes of it was
camel clutches.
Camel clutches.
That weren't even, like, intimidating.
And I tell you what, and I get it. I mean, Diesel, Sid Vicious, both really big men. But the it was like the power bombs were a little weak looking.
Two big men doesn't always work.
Yeah.
And most of the time, a big man's better off with a smaller guy.
Yeah, the smaller guy normally makes it more entertaining. Seeing him overcome the adversity of the big guy and everything like that.
And so, but this is more Vince McMahon, and you think, you know, after the steroid trial, you think he would get away from the big man, but no. Now he wants to push Diesel as champion, and in Vince's head, Diesel's opponents need to be giants. Needs people that, you know... And I guess it's a matter of perspective. I mean, I believe it's believable Sid could beat Diesel. That's believable. Sid was always a great character, and especially in WWE with the music, the promo that he gave before the match was just really, reminded me a little bit of Jake, because it's so quiet and a little crazy, not quite as crazy. I said it reminded me of the Warriors, like, it blazes, yeah. Like, it's not that far out there. No.
No, it was a weird promo, but it wasn't, like, his cadence was interesting.
Yeah, the fact, like, that it was quiet and slow and sounded like a psycho talking to
he
you.
He just didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah. It seemed like...
Here's the thing about... And I know this from just all the podcasts I listened to and research. The thing about Sid is, in a way, Sid was like Brock, to where all Sid cared about was actually making money. Like, Sid wasn't in the wrestling, and he wasn't in love with the wrestling, if that makes sense.
He's so just, if it like, looked like there was a lack of guy, so...
If it looks like there was lack of effort, there was. That's why, like... Sid just had that reputation of, yeah, he was a big man, he had a great look and everything, but, like, for example, he played softball, believe it or not, this big giant man, and he would miss shows. He would miss wrestling commitments because it was softball season.
Ah!
Yeah. I heard...
They gave him the cool, scary music.
Bruce Pritchard told a story about how one time Sid didn't even realize that the event he was going to wrestle at was fucking WrestleMania. Yeah. Like, he showed up that day, and he's like, oh, it's WrestleMania, cool.
That's cool!
Cool, I'm at WrestleMania.
I suppose This is awesome.
So Sid was kind of a detached star that just wanted to, you know, make that money. I think if he was more into it, his career probably would have went even farther.
Yeah, maybe.
But you're about to, like, we're getting ready to see a big, we're getting ready to see Sid's big run come up soon here in the WWF, but not today, because we couldn't get a clean fit. I thought it was such a good show, and I thought we were going to make it, but by golly, we couldn't make it. We couldn't make it to the through a full pay-per-view with no dirty finishes.
Yeah.
We get a horrible powerbomb from Sid, and then he thinks he can pose for 20 minutes before he pins Diesel, so you knew it wasn't going to be the end. Like, he's got to sit there and go, yep, that's it, I'm God, blah, 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 and then he pins him and he kicks out, and then Diesel returns a not-as-bad powerbomb, and you think it's over. Nope, here comes Tatanka to fuck everything up. And it's a disqualification.
Oh, yeah, they found all the bugs?
And I'm looking... There were bugs everywhere.
There were bugs everywhere. So they all had to take them out.
So I'm sitting there going, like, who's going to save him? Sean's not here. Aldo Montoya's already gotten taken out. Who's going to save him? And it was Bam Bam. So I'm totally wrong, because during the match I told Blaze I thought Bam Bam was already gone. But he's not. He just turned face because Sid also kicked his ass. Sid took his spot in the Million Dollar Corporation. So Bam Bam's out for revenge.
I mean, do you want Sid Vicious or do you want Bam Bam?
It's Sid.
Maybe not so much now that I know this backstory about right. him, but
I mean, Bam Bam used to be a badass, then he lost to a football player. So So I mean, this might be the low spot of the night, but for an overall good pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It's possible, I mean, this was the
it wasn't ruining this pay-per-view or anything.
No, but it was just kind of boring.
It was just, yeah, it was slow, it was boring.
Sid would have been a little more selling and into it. Like, when Sid was beating on Nat Diesel, he was selling it. He was even trying to sell those crappy camel clutches.
Was he, though?
Eh, as much as he could. Sid just looked like, are we done yet?
Yeah. It's just so good. The one thing I will give Sid Vicious... Even with the camel clutches, Sid Vicious has some great reactions.
He does have good facial expressions.
Facial expressions.
He does.
Yeah, I enjoyed the facial expressions. He's just... It didn't seem like he cared to make those...
Stay away from
And if you're not going to try to sell a submission move, it's boring.
And they looked awkward, too, because, like... boring. Diesel wasn't even, like, flat on the mat. He was on his knees. So then it was like a doggy-style camel clutch. Like, I don't know. It looked like he was riding horseback.
Yeah, it really did look like Sid Vicious was riding Diesel, and that's on a different pay-per-view. With a scramble. Oops. With a scramble.
I downloaded the wrong In Your House.
Yeah. In your house.
In your house. So, you know, it was... just stay away from submissions if you're not a submission wrestler, and don't download the wrong In Your House.
Sid was trying to go through the back door of your house.
Again, that was the wrong one you downloaded.
Hey.
So, you know, hey. It is what it is. Diesel's still the champ, and we know we haven't seen the end of this. So, maybe we'll see him again at King of the Ring. Or WrestleMania, we already had WrestleMania. SummerSlam, Survivor Series, or one of the other In Your Houses, who knows. But it's definitely not over, that's for sure. And we're still not done with Million Dollar Corporation or Tatanka. I thought Tatanka was gone, but I remember Tatanka being bad. I don't remember him being around this long after he was a bad guy. Yeah. So, by the way, he still also wrestles. Not in...
Tatanka? You
know, yes. Not in big promotions, obviously, but yeah, he's still out there. You can still see Tatanka in the ring. There's worse demolition stuff wrestles. Are you kidding me? Yeah. So, guess we're going to rank this guy.
I'm going to give this 2 lazy clutches.
2 lazy clutches.
Yeah. Isn't that what they called that camel clutch? It was called the lazy clutch, right?
It was definitely a lazy clutch.
It was a lazy clutch.
Yeah, it was. I'm going to give this, two Tatankas.
2 Tatankas.
2 Tatankas.
Ugh. Boomer was so lazy, he didn't come up with anything clever. I just went with Tatankas.
I couldn't even come up, with anything clever.
He cared as much about this main event as Sid Vicious did, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I was going to give it to going in the wrong doors, but I didn't know if that would be...
I mean, we already made the joke. Why not continue it?
Plus, yeah. It's a podcast, so it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, we don't fucking care.
Yeah, if your kids are listening, that's your fault.
I didn't tell you. I put a damn explicit tag on a reason.
That's right.
For a reason. I'm sorry your four-year-old is listening to this podcast. That was...
This is bad parenting. I don't know.
Maybe it's not bad parenting.
Maybe it's just learned.
If you're a parent that doesn't care about your kid hearing this, then more power to you. That's your child.
Yeah, I'm not gonna take the listeners.
I'm not gonna talk shit about your parenting stuff. Hell, as the podcaster, hey, I welcome 4-year old Billy.
Welcome to the show.
I'm glad you're fucking enjoying it.
That's right, Billy. Welcome to the fucking show. Just be careful downloading into your house. You might want to put the WWF first.
All I'm saying, there's an explicit tag on this for a reason.
That's right.
We ain't trying to hide anything.
No. We never claimed we were going to be friendly about anything.
No surprise back doors here in our house.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, thanks for that, Sid. I blame you. Wow, I went totally south fast. Well, overall, you know what? Best pay-per-view of 1995 so far.
You know, you're not wrong.
I cannot be wrong about
you're
that.
You're not wrong. I was actually surprised. And we got quite a few in 95, but right now, this is the best pay-per-view we've had.
It is.
It was definitely better than WrestleMania and Royal Rumble, which is so sad.
It is sad, but it's true. It was the good storylines.
And the crazy thing is we had this. It was the best one we've had so far. No Shawn Michaels. No Undertaker.
We didn't have Undertaker
in this show.
Yeah, two of your biggest stars. We're not there.
Still
better than Mania.
Better.
Yeah.
You had a freaking match between Mabel and Adam Bomb.
And we keep bringing that up, but the fact is, it wasn't a horrible match. It didn't suck. And it still felt, I guess because they made it a King of the Ring qualified match, like it still felt like
important.
It belonged on a pay-per-view, yeah. And then it meant something. It wasn't just some squash match from Superstars.
I bet half of you don't even remember Adam Bomb.
Probably not, because he wasn't around too long, but... Yeah,
or Mabel, to be honest with you. I mean...
It's exciting because now we're in an era of, you know, more than the big five pay-per-views. I believe there's five or six in your houses in 95, so this is going to fill some space, and then we're going to just open up a whole new world. 96 is right around the corner. It's going to be a great year.
I know. I'm looking at this in-your-house picture on the Peacocks, and we got The Rock coming up soon.
Yeah, that's still Rocky Maivia right there, boy.
Rocky Maivia. Yeah. I'm sorry, he wasn't The Rock at this time.
He was not
time.
Yet. No, you can tell by the knee pads.
And is that Savio Vega? Or is that D'Lo Brown? I can't tell.
That is some Nation of Domination colors, though. See, we're reading screensavers.
So this must have been, like, after he left The Nation. The Rock started in The Nation, didn't he?
No. No, he did not.
He didn't start?
He started as Rocky Maivia and was supposed to be a good guy, and it wasn't working out too well, and then he joined The Nation.
Oh, I thought when The Nation started, he was in it at the beginning.
No, is what right I'm away. Saying. Nope, not right away.
Not right away. I knew he showed up as Rocky Maivia.
I know we're talking about.
I didn't mean he started in The Nation. I'm saying when The Nation started, I thought he was one of their...
Not right away, but he got in there pretty quickly, yeah. Which is also a big time in his career, because we all know The Rock came out of The Nation, you know, born in The Nation, but yeah. He wasn't in there right away.
But here we're getting the Croc coming up. The Croc.
It's about to get good, folks. It's about to get... 96 excites me, because that's when we'll cover a show I was actually at.
Oh, yeah?
SummerSlam 96 was my first ever WWE event live. So I was there.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it work, but if I can make it work where... I don't know if Rage is going to be able to join, but I know we wanted to cover the Raw... That we were at.
Right.
We were at the Raw where Kane, after Kane won the title, like, he didn't win the title often. So one of the times after he won the title at a pay-per-view, he loses it on Raw the exact next
You were
next
at that
night.
One? I remember that.
We were at that one? We were at that Raw.
That's a good Raw,
Kane lost, and we wanted to cover that on the show. And I really want Rage here because he was there at that show with me.
Yeah.
and I'd like to watch it with him. I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to do one show, but we'll see when we get there. I can't remember when that is.
Yeah, we'll have to look that up.
We got to get Kane to show up first.
Yeah, we got some time before that's going to pop up.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully he'll be feeling a little better and maybe join me for that Raw special. Because we're going to, if we can make it happen, we'll be covering that Raw.
Definitely, definitely. If we can make it happen, we're going to have Rage. We're going to have Rage in here once in a while. We're going to get back in here for sure.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we made it through our first In Your House. And it was good.
Right? Well,
and I enjoyed
it. We got a few things we could talk about.
We do have a few. We do. And then we got to plug some pluggables.
That's not what I'm talking
about.
That's
not what you're talking about. He's giving me a look.
Best match of the night.
Oh, yeah. We got matches to do.
Yeah. What is
best and worst. Yeah. Where are we going to start? Best?
Yeah, well, of course.
Of course.
What was your favorite match of the night?
I actually got to think about this. And I haven't had to do that. The last few pay-per-views have been kind of pretty quick and easy to do.
Yeah, no, I've been trying to think of it as well.
But for me, and I know you were surprised about my rating, but and I know it was quick, but my favorite match, I think, was the tag team title match.
Tag team title match.
That really was my favorite match of the night. It was just good classic tag team wrestling, and it told a good story. And even though it was quick, I loved the entire presentation of it. So I'm going to go with the tag match between the Smoking Guns and Yoko and Owen.
All right. I've been trying to think of this. Quite honestly, I think my favorite match of the night was the handicap match with Razor Ramon, Jeff Jarrett, and Rhodey. I mean, we got to see Rhodey wrestle for the first time.
First time, yeah.
And we got to see a definitive finish with the finisher. We got to see the Razor's Edge. I mean, there was fun shenanigans that happened in it. I think that's my favorite, actually.
I can't argue that. And like you said, at least, I mean, he didn't win the title, but at least for once, Razor got one over on Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah, it's crazy that we've been praising this pay-per-view, and my favorite match is actually with Jeff Jarrett.
Right. Fucking Jeff Jarrett.
Right?
Nice.
So yeah, that was my favorite, is the handicap match.
No arguments there, that's for sure.
And
so, worst match of the night is actually hard. This is actually a hard pick to make.
It is.
Because I didn't hate any of the matches at all, and I might even shock you. I don't know. I'm leaning towards the main event being the worst match of the night. And the reason is just all that no-selling, slow camel clutching. Like, I think Adam Bomb and Mabel might have been a little more exciting than the championship match was.
Well, I think it's definitely between those two.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mabel and Adam Bomb or the main event.
And with not a clean finish. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go with the main event.
I'm kind of leaning towards the exact same thing. The main event between Psycho Sid and for a main event, it was kind of a weak finish, and it was slow. It was slow. When you have a 10-minute match, and 5 of those minutes is a boring submission.
With guys who don't do them, like you pointed out.
And I am not, for fans of submission wrestlers, I am not trying to bash submission wrestlers.
No, it just doesn't fit. It just didn't fit in this match.
Yeah, I mean,
if it would have been, Ric Flair and Kurt Angle, you could have locked all you wanted. Whatever.
Dean Malenko, the man of 1,000 right. holes,
It's just the two guys that didn't do submissions at all that were big.
The thing is, I'm picky. That's my thing. It's not that I hate submissions. I like submissions. But I'm picky on those submissions. If you're going to do a submission, you got to do it right. Otherwise, it's just boring. And we're just watching you. Because, I mean, the thing about wrestling is, you have to sell it.
Yeah.
You have to sell the moves that you're doing. And if you're not selling that submission...
And even with... And the other problem with this match, though, even with those two big guys, can you even make it believable? Like, why am I going to believe that Sid is going to hurt Diesel camel clutching him? I just... You know what I mean? First of all, Diesel's bigger than you.
That could be an issue, right?
You guys are both big guys, but...
That could be an issue right there, but...
Yeah.
At least with, like, the bad... power bombs, which, in fairness, You know, they're two big guys. That's going to be hard to sell those power bombs. Even with those, at least that looks hurtful. Right. I mean, at least they look painful, still being slammed to the ground. It's not the same with a submission. If you're doing a boring submission and you're not selling it, it's all you're doing is dead air. We're just watching you sit on a guy. And it's, I mean, unless you're Yokozuna, we don't want to watch you sit on a guy.
No, because you kill people if you're Yokozuna, that's for sure.
Still, but if Yokozuna's just sitting on a guy, that's going to look painful.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you fake that. It's all about selling. If you're going to be wrestling, you got to sell.
Got to sell and we got to believe.
So we got two big guys and 5 minutes of it is not selling a boring submission move. It's definitely the worst match of the night in my book.
I agree.
I mean, Mabel and Adam Bomb wasn't nothing to write home about, but you're not the main event.
It was entertaining.
You're not the main event, and you're not that bad.
No, not at all. So, we're in agreement on both. That's scary.
Well, it's true.
It is true. It is.
Actually, we're not in agreement on both. I said the handicap match. My bad. You said the tag match.
We're agreeing on the main event.
Although I can't knock you for that tag match. It's probably the other one that I debated on.
Right, right. But we do agree on the worst, and it's the main event.
It is the main event, absolutely, because 5 minutes of half your match was boring.
Right.
I'm sorry, you can't have a main event where half your match is boring.
And then end it with interference.
I wouldn't even care about that. I mean, if you're telling a story, this isn't a WrestleMania, you're telling a story at a brand new pay-per-view, that's fine if the rest of your match is entertaining.
It was more entertaining when Diesel was in control. And then as soon as Sid took over, it was one big move and then let me hold you in a sleeper forever. Or a camel clutch, whatever the hell he was trying to do. So that's a big difference. At least when Diesel was in control, there was more action to it. But even then, Sid had trouble. Sid just didn't seem like he was all the way into it.
No, to me. According to you, apparently.
Yeah, well, that's the story. It's like Sid's just like, what?
It was just a paycheck for Sid.
Yeah.
It's like, you want me to just sit on this guy and hold his chin? All right.
I'll go out and talk some shit and oil
up. You want to pay me for that?
Flex my muscles. And yeah, I'm in.
That means 5 minutes out of this 10-minute match, I don't have to do shit. I swear. I mean, respect for the laziness, Sid Vicious, but, you know.
Figure out a better way to pull it off.
Yeah. You can at least pretend like you're trying to hurt him.
At least act like it. Gosh.
I couldn't see Diesel's face to know if he was selling it any better.
We will see better matches out of Sid. That I can promise you.
Okay, fair enough.
Because I do remember some good runs
less
by Sid.
Less camel clutches.
Yeah. Well, you know, his matches get better when he has to face guys like Sean. Again, it's hard to pull off two big guys against each other.
It really is. It really is. There's a reason that it doesn't work that well.
Like, Sid's best matches, even in WCW, were against the littler guys, you know. It's just the way it is. It's very hard for two big guys to pull off good matches. And unfortunately, with Diesel's title run, we get to see all the big guys that McMahon picked to try to be. Oh, just wait. There's some good stuff coming. Just wait.
Fair enough.
All right. Now, I believe we are ready to
plug those pluggables.
Plug some pluggables. Let's do it.
All right. Well, you can find me on Dragon Blazer Productions on the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the TikToks. And now you can also find me on Twitter.
Twitters.
And the Instagram. I don't think I said.
Instas as well.
I didn't. Did I say Instagram?
You might have. This man's everywhere. If it's social, he's there.
But if you want to find me, it's Dragon Blazer Productions. Unless it's on Twitter, where it's Dragon Blazer Pro, because they won't let me go for the whole Dragon Blazer Productions.
Yeah.
And I have to be short.
You know, it's ridiculous they shorten us.
Yeah.
You can find the show on Facebook, of course, at The Boomer and Blaze Show. And then we got us on Twitters. We're on the Twitters and the Instas.
We're on the Twitters and the Instas.
And we're at Boomer_Blaze, because you can't type all that out. They won't let us be the Boomer Blaze Show. It's too much. It's too much.
Too much.
And then if you would like to send us hate mail for yelling at your children or talking about back doors, we also have, you can email us
explicit.
Now.
Explicit. There's an explicit tag.
Warning. But if you have requests for special episodes or hate mail or any questions, anything like that, suggestions, you can reach us at Boomer and Blaze Show. Well, it's boomerandblazeshow@gmail.com. Just boomerandblazeshow@gmail.com.
Yeah, if there's any special requests you have, we've already done a couple episodes in the past. Somebody asked for a main event, I believe it was. And
there were a couple of WCW
that was asked for. Hell, We are shameless promotion. You ask us for something, yeah. I'm going to do it.
Yeah, we'll do it if you have a request. Even if it's something new that just happened.
I'm a sucker for
we
fans.
We will do it, yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what? Check out the Boomer and Blaze group. The Boomer and Blaze group. Boomer is throwing out all the information. He finds out something going on, like CM Punk gets fired. He hasn't got fired yet, so he hasn't told us about that yet.
No.
Because it hasn't happened.
Hasn't happened.
I assure you, when it does happen, it will be on that group.
I'm telling you, it'll be on our Facebook page. I try to put as much on there as I can. It's very active. I break news sometimes. I'm just telling you. I do break news sometimes.
Yeah, he's been giving us the information. Giving us the 411, so that they used to say back in the day.
And you're also welcome to give us suggestions, feedbacks on there. Whatever, we like it all. We welcome everything. I'm even supporting indie wrestling on there. Maybe you know about a promotion I don't, and you'd like to share that on our page, you're more than welcome to.
Absolutely. We
love all of it.
We love interactions.
Yes.
We love interactions. And you know what? You enjoy this show? Feel free to tell your friends.
Tell the world. Tell the friends.
You got a wrestling fan that's in the closet and, you know, just doesn't know what he's doing? Tell them about this show. He gets to learn more about wrestling. We get to talk about... Boomer knows ridiculous amounts of information about wrestling. It's insane.
It's insane.
I don't understand how that much knowledge is in that head.
You know. I know a thing or two.
Watch wrestling. I'm not going to win any...
Somehow, though, I know so much stuff, and this guy still manages to catch me off guard. He likes to believe with the right questions.
I come up with dumb shit.
Yeah, damn you.
That's my contribution to the show.
Right.
Boomer knows a lot of stuff about wrestling. I just come up with dumb shit in the moment.
And it works, by golly.
I mean, I like to think it does.
Me too.
I like to think it does, but you know...
Hey, we have some listeners, and we do appreciate it, but spread the word, like you said. Let your friends know. Check us out on Facebook and the Twitters and the Instas, and let everybody know about us. And come back and check out some more. Next week, we get another King of the Ring, King of the Ring 95.
King of the Ring 95.
Looking forward to it.
After this In Your House, I'm a little more excited for more in 95.
Yeah, we're going to get a
maybe.
Roster's still going to be a little thin, but, you know, we'll get there. We'll get there. It's going to be
It's going to go up. I know that soon we're going to start getting new people that so far it hasn't happened. But
no, but soon Triple H.
Oh, yeah. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see these guys at the beginning.
In the early stages.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
And I'm not ashamed to admit, and we'll get to it, but when The Rock first debuted, I thought, wow, look at this geek. The Rocky Maivia debut, and I'm like, oh, gosh. This guy looks like a nerd, and they stuck him with his parents' or his dad's name and his grandpa's name. This guy's never going to make it.
Never going to make it.
Never going to make it. Look at him now.
I mean, he's only, like, the most popular movie star.
Highest paid actor.
Highest paid actor. I mean...
Owner of the XFL.
I can't wait till that becomes a thing, you know?
Yeah.
The Rock XFL, you know? I mean... It's insane that a wrestler that we watched growing up is one of the most popular actors in the world today.
And owns a production company and has a clothing line and energy drinks and XFL. And when's it going to end?
The Rock did what the Hulk Hogan never could.
Yeah. The Rock also didn't make Mr. Nanny.
The Rock's... Probably. I mean, he did make Tooth Fairy.
I liked Tooth Fairy. See, I don't know.
Do
I
mean, you?
It was funny, you know.
I mean, this is early acting.
It was early Rock.
Scorpion King.
He had some rough ones.
Rough start, but, you know, just like Hogan. Hogan just never broke out to...
Got away from the rough, no. They were good movies when we were kids, though. I don't know. Suburban Commando still could be a cult classic. I still enjoy that one. But.
I mean, maybe one of these days we might have to take a break from watching wrestling and watch
some movie reviews,
yeah.
Hey, The Undertaker's in Suburban Commando before he's The Undertaker.
Is he?
He was in that movie, yeah. And Christopher Lloyd's in Suburban Commando. Shelley Duvall. There were some big stars.
Oh, my.
You know?
Maybe we'll have to check that out. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that does it for our rambling this week.
Fair enough.
And we look forward to next week. Everyone out there in podcast world, spread that word. And we'll see you then. Good night.
Good night. Next week, it's King of the Ring.
I'm Boomer.
And I'm Blaze.
Good night.
Day.